Another night slowly closes in, and I feel so lonely. Touching heat freezing out my skin, I pretend you still hold me. I'm going crazy, I'm losing sleep. I'm empty, farming way too deep over you. I can't believe you're gone. You were the first, you'll be the last. Wherever you go, I'll be with you.
Jerry Bader Show, 1007 Cheap Trick, Flame. I do remember this one, but it's not on the top list. That's a good song. A very good song. A friend has a point about the Badgers basketball team, which we were discussing before the news. I like that they had several days to prepare for the zone. I'd bet them to lose if they were playing a zone team on Saturday on one day's prep. I think that is a good point. I think the prep time does favor the Badgers. I think it's going to be a very exciting game, and I hope it ends the right way. I'd love to see them in the Final Four. Speaking of college sports, a loyal listener who is practically, I should pay her commission on show prep because she sends me a lot of good stuff, sent me this, but it's all over. I mean, I've seen it everywhere now. The ruling that could rattle the universe of universities. The headline by the Chicago Tribune. I also have the Wall Street Journal story on this in front of me. Northwestern University football players on scholarship are employees of the school and therefore entitled to hold an election to decide whether to unionize. An official of the National Labor Relations Board said yesterday, not the NLRB itself, and this is an important distinction. He's a regional director. This decision will be appealed to the full NLRB, which is going to be fascinating because it's just right now an extension of the union movement. The Obama NLRB is as pro-union as that entity has ever been. The National Labor Relations Board is the National Labor Sycophant Board right now. That's what it is. The stunning decision, writes the Trib, comes after a push by former quarterback Kane Coulter, backed by organized labor, has the potential to shake up the world of big-time college sports. And then it just gives the boilerplate stuff here. The NCAA and universities set the rules and cut the lucrative deals of TV networks and sponsors, exerting near total control over the activities of players known as student athletes. I heard someone recently say, no, they're athlete students. But now those football players, at least at Northwestern, are employees, too, and may seek collective bargaining status, according to a 24-page ruling by Peter Sung Orr, regional director of the NLRB. Orr's decision is revolutionary for college sports, said one person the Tribune quoted, Robert McCormick of MSU College of Law. Experts say the ruling could have wide impact beyond Northwestern's locker room, potentially influencing other players, schools, states, and federal agencies. For example, McCormick said that if college players demand compensation for injuries suffered during training or a game, Orr's opinion could raise the question of whether they should be treated as employees under workers' comp. This is a muddled mess. This has created a twilight zone for one college football team. What are they? Are they employees? If they're employees, then they should be able to negotiate their salary, right? This part isn't brought up yet. At this moment, this seems limited in terms of what they could get out of this. If you're an employee and you have union representation, the union can then bargain on your behalf and you can negotiate your wage. This actually has the potential to blow apart college athletics as they exist today. Now, one of the things this also does is draws a distinction between profitable sports, such as college football, and sports, I'm not going to call lesser sports, but sports that do not draw the audiences or the revenue. So they are lesser in terms of economic impact, sports. And and by the way, it's Northwestern is going to appeal this to the NLRB. I have no idea. If I had to guess, I would say the NLRB upholds this, and then it's probably on the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Here's the point that I want to get to, and I want your thoughts on this. Now, I think this is the wrong way to approach this. I think this is going to cause all sorts of confusion and complication. However, as I've said in the past, I think players should be compensated. They're using their God-given skills to generate billions of dollars. And you can argue over who gets that money, but the reality is it generates billions of dollars in television advertising revenue and contract revenue. You can argue which schools get the money. I'm telling you, everybody in college football on D1 contributes to one degree or another, being the opponent of a profitable program. But what cures Northwestern's defense? Northwestern University immediately said it would appeal as basically what Northwestern says is, and the NCAA, not just Northwestern, but the NCAA, their longtime stance is that athletes are students first and athletes second. Do you really believe that college football players and basketball players in D1 are students first? Jason, do you accept that? That's laughable. That's laughable. Each is a farm league for its prospective major league. That's what it is. That's what college basketball is, and that's what college football is. But they just haven't let go of the fact yet, well, yeah, you got to go to school and you got to at least maintain a C. Kind of, as if that doesn't get skirted around. But they're not there to get a degree. They're there in most, and I know that some schools, and Northwestern is one of them. That's what's ironic about this. They're picking the school that does put more emphasis on academics. That's where I find this is an interesting choice. Northwestern does put a higher premium on athletes' academics than most other, not only Big Ten schools. Wisconsin isn't bad either, by the way. The Big Ten, actually, I would argue the Big Ten is probably one of the better conferences in that regard. But let's be honest, even there, they're still athletes first. They are. If they're athletes first, then I think they should be compensated. It's just what I believe. If they're athletes first, I think you're kidding yourself if you don't accept that, then they should be compensated. I just don't think this is going to work. What it might do is force the NCAA to recognize that they do have to protect these guys long-term from injury, because those who have pro prospects and they get wiped out or even just get permanently injured, I think it's wrong that these players have not been compensated. I just don't think this is the way to do it. But I think it is a joke to suggest that they are still students first and athletes second when you come to NCAA D1 football and basketball. I think that's just laughable. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Reed in Marshfield. Reed, hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Hey, Jerry, how are you?
Good.
Listen, you have a senior in high school. He's the premier athlete within his school, maybe the conference he plays in. He's going to college as a jump-off point to possibly go professional in basketball or football.
Mm-hmm.
Northwestern is the premier educational school. They're the Harvard of the Midwest.
Yep.
So if a kid goes to play football there and he doesn't use that education opportunity, that's his fault. He should not be paid. This will turn into a complete mess. And Colin Cowherd made a very interesting point on his show earlier on ESPN Radio that if you have a kid that's choosing between USC and, let's say, Wisconsin, do you really think he's going to go to Wisconsin and not choose USC if both schools could pay him?
Why?
It's a better opportunity, warmer weather, better climate. Where do the better athletes go?
Why do good players come to Green Bay then in the pros?
Well, you're talking about, what is the NFL, 32 NFL teams. Yeah. They like the system that that Mike McCarthy might play in. I mean, we're not talking about NFL here.
But there was a day when what you're saying was true. Green Bay was Siberia, and that has changed. I think if you've got a good coach and a good program, you're going to get people here. But let's take the larger point. Now, you're right about Northwestern, but the NCAA Division I as a whole, they are athletes first and students second. You don't deny that, do you?
Oh, I totally agree with that.
Right, so why not pay them then?
Absolutely not, because you're going to start having issues with possibly players being paid off to help cover spreads within games.
Oh, why? Why? Then why doesn't that happen in the pros?
Oh, I think it does happen. Look at the whole ref scandal in the NBA. What happened there? That ref was being paid off.
Yeah, but why can't that happen right now in college? In fact, isn't it more likely?
Didn't UNLV have an issue with that?
Is it
20 years ago?
Reed, isn't it more likely to happen that they'll look for a payoff when they're not getting paid?
Well, it might be happening. We just don't know about it.
All right. Reed, you've drifted off into a strange point there. Here's my argument. I don't think this union is the way to do it, but I think it's time for the NCAA to recognize. No, free tuition is compensation, not nearly enough. All that is that you get classes that you're not doing well in anyway, just to go there and play football. The scholarship is payment. What the scholarship means, and that's right, that is compensation. That's where this guy says this makes them employees. I think he's right about that. The scholarship is to go and play college football that generates billions of dollars. You are working at a job that generates revenue for someone. But beyond getting the compensation to go sit in class, you are getting nothing else. I have for years thought this was a mistake. What people don't want to recognize is the days of college football as being a college game ended when the pro football game in the late 50s and early 60s became so popular that college football wasn't something where you had glory days and then you went and became a business executive with your college degree or a business person or whatever with your college degree. It wasn't an exciting part of your life that ended when you were 21. It was a stepping stone to a pro career. That's been going on for 50 years now. As a result, it has built itself into a major industry. I think it's un-American for people to create billions of dollars of someone else for someone else and get nothing more than a scholarship out of it. I don't think that's the American way. Ron in Green Bay. Ron, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Jerry. I guess a couple of comments I'd like to make is the players understand, or the athlete, I should say, or the student, if you want to call that, understand what they are going into. Unfortunately, it has grown. Money has, you know, polluted it and taken it to a level that no one can even understand of how to, you know, control it or much less keep it in the context that it was originally designed for. But I guess a simple thing I'd like to say, it's kind of funny how my perspective with a lot of the colleges, you have a lot of liberal viewpoints, and now you're getting a liberal going after another liberal, and it's just kind of funny how this is all playing out as to what the colleges foster and develop in the mindset of all these students they're pumping out into the real world, that everybody's entitled, everybody's owed. And I'm not taking away from the athlete's pain, and it's multi-billion dollar, but then all the sports, not just the lucrative ones, should be paying their students or the athletes to play then. You know, whether it's badminton or ping pong or whatever it is.
See, and I can make the argument that no, that's not the case. That you would pay them commensurate to the revenue generated, which would be virtually none.
But the pr- problem is you're looking at the university as a whole.
Yeah,
not,
then you
not, not yep. just as a football team or a basketball yep. team or so forth. And my other response is to 95-96% of the college athletes have no chance of ever making it to a pro. And so they are getting compensated, like you said, with the scholarship. But it is, yeah, unfortunately, it is a farm league for the pros for a very, very, very few players.
Here's the other thing that really creates a problem here. As I understand the ruling, he thinks only scholarshiped players would qualify here. And the rest wouldn't be employees. I don't know how that would work. He's created a mess, and I think this mess has happened because the NCAA thought their way of life was going to go on forever. Steve in Green Bay. Steve, go ahead.
Good morning, Jerry.
Morning.
My thing is this. Get rid of the scholarships for the student-athletes altogether and get those to other departments, such as music or theater or whatever. Pay the kids, but pay them a straight set across the board. And that's for all sports, not just football or basketball, but, too, you know, hockey and baseball, girls softball, tennis, and things like that. And then funnel that money back into the university to get more scholarships for the non-student athletes to go to some of those schools that they necessarily can't go to.
Hey, Steve, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. 406-13, I had a little trouble hearing Steve. 406-1360, but that could have been me. 888-455-1360. To me, for the most part, they are athletes first, students second. Yeah, we can give them a minute. Let's go ahead right now. You got a minute, Don. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jerry, my question is, if they're going to be paid as a student athlete, does that mean that they can also be released or fired for not performing?
Well, now that's an excellent question, and that's where this is incredibly complex. And I think those are things, Don, that could have been worked out had the NCAA addressed this and instead waited until the National Labor Relations Board makes this decision for them. It's or at least one of its representatives. Now it'll go to the full NLRB. It's 10:24.
Things Jerry Bader, JerryBaderShow.com. From tweet.